Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Talented writer Linda Freeney has done it again. After two highly praised crime mysteries, Deja Vu and Nobody's Angel, comes The Dogs of Lennon. One review saying the writing style is nothing short of excellent and the plot was amazing from the start. A work of fiction, but the events and occurrences in the book could happen in the real world. Power, politics, activism, mainstream media's influence, and Russia. A doomed love story about the main characters, The Dogs of Lennon, takes place in the 60s, ends in the 90s. Author Linda Freeney says the book just had to be written. She was born and raised in England, American citizen for a number of years. Known for her page-turning mysteries, she also writes screenplays, has adapted three of her novels into scripts. Linda Freeney, author of The Dogs of Lennon, joining us on This Week in America. Hi, Linda. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Great to have you here to talk about The Dogs of Lennon, a book that you said just had to be written. And I know it took a couple of years for you to do the research on this. Tell me the inspiration, the motivation for this story. Why was it so important to you to write this book?
Because it seemed like the world was actually changing and nobody was paying any attention to what had already gone on in the world. And I know this happened back in the 60s and the 90s, but it's timely because it's today too.
Yeah, as I said,
it could be written today.
Yes, I'm going through the topics here and with Russia and all of this, and we'll get into during the course of the program. I'm like, you could have wrote this a month ago, and it's just as relevant today as when you wrote this. Let's talk about the research. I mentioned it took several years. You really did extensive research. So when you're reading this, and people have praised that in the reviews, the fact that you really did your homework, and we know the characters, and we know the research. Talk about the extensive research you did on this.
I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of online stuff, and I wanted to make sure when real names are mentioned, you know, like Ronald Reagan and Carter and all of these people, these are actually things that happened during that time. And there's actually, there still is actually, from my research, I found out that I think it was left over from Nixon, actually. There was, you know, when the government creates an agency, it never goes away.
Yes.
It just stays. And so there was an agency probably during the Nixon years, I figured out, that still was working today and then. And it's still there now. And it does have this thing with the Russians. So I don't do a great job of explaining my own work, I should say. You know, I write better than I talk.
You explain it in your book, and the book we're talking about is The Dogs of Lennon by Linda Freeney. That's Freeney. Her website is lfreeneywriter.com. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about I mentioned a love story, a doomed love story. Two of the main characters, Lisa Danton and Grant Chandler. Talk about the two of them. It's sort of unlikely they get together, but they do get together.
Well, they do in the end, but not really. I mean, it was destined to be a sequel, too, because these are the kind of characters, you know, that when I put the book to bed, I really didn't put it to bed. I still was thinking about these people and thinking about what would happen to them next. And so it really is begging for a sequel, too, which I will probably do, especially since it's timely and up to date right now. But the two characters, different from night and day. I mean, she wants to be a famous anchor person, and he's deaf against the media. So even though the love is strong, it can't withstand the differences in the worlds they live in. And in the very end of he needs her in the end. And so he doesn't know if she can trust her. So, but he does, but that's when they come together, when he needs her. He needs to expose what's going on here. Let me go backtrack to the title. The title really says it all. The Dogs of Lennon, this is really based on the fact that the Russians were hurting the Americans back in the 60s and 90s, and still now. So that they're actually hurting us like sheep, and that's why it's called The Dogs of Lennon, because they're the dogs, we're the sheep.
In the book, The Dogs of Lennon by Linda Freeney, her website is lfreeneywriter.com. Of course, the book's available at Amazon, wherever books are sold, and you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. let's go back to, I mean, set the starts in the 60s. Where did Grant and Lisa meet? How did they meet in the first place?
It's up in San Francisco, and they met in a history class, and he was listening to the professor actually give excuses why the Berlin Wall never could be torn down. And so he interrupted the class very nastily and said, you know, basically.
Yes.
And excuse my French, but my French gets worse. But anyway, and so that's how they met, because she was fascinated by why he felt the need to do this. Why did he feel the need to bring the professor to account? So she followed him out of the classroom, and they established a relationship. Very, very sincere relationship, but they never could get past the fact that they were never on the same track.
So Lisa becomes a very successful journalist.
She does. Rating. She becomes a very successful anchor. Yeah.
Yeah, and it does very well in the ratings. So she's in journalism. What happens to Grant along the way? I'll let you explain it. How does Grant develop? Yes. How does that character develop?
The book is written in three parts. The first part's about her and her journey. The second part is about his journey. And the third part is when they actually come together, because there's a need for them to be together. After he walks out on her, which breaks her heart because she thinks it can happen, but it doesn't. But anyway, after he walks out, then he gets in with this group of people that they're like a backroom people, but they have the same goals and the realism that he does. And so he joins with this group. And as he becomes more and more noted for his activism, more and more people start to enter his life. And as he joins all these people, he actually becomes pretty much of a leader, at least in the background. The true leader is a guy that we never really know who he is. His name is Simon, but we never really know how he became, but he is there, and he will always be there. He's there today.
You know, it's talking about a secret government organization left over, as you mentioned, probably from the Nixon administration that was never disbanded. How does that fit into the story, The Dogs of Lenin? I mean, it's fascinating the way you unfold all of this. And again, it's something that could be ripped out of the headlines. Talk just a little bit, I don't want to give away too much, about this organization. This has been here, what, undercover for a number of years?
And it's still out there in different forms, different people take over. So he hooks up with this organization almost by accident. But then they find out that he can be really useful to them, because he can be, as his notoriety can be, out in the open where they don't want to be. So they kind of use him. I mean, he could be out there making all this noise, and they're the ones that really are guiding it.
The book is The Dogs of Lenin by Linda Freeney. The book's available, of course, wherever books are sold. Information on this book and all of Linda's books at her website, lfreeney, that's F-R-E-E-N-Y, writer.com. Talk about the dialogue. It's so interesting, and people, again, have commented on that. The dialogue that you use in the book, especially the dialogue between the two main characters, Lisa and Grant, talk about that and the challenges in developing dialogue that's not wasted but moves the story along at the same time. How difficult is that to get into the minds of these characters that you've created and to do dialogue that really adds to the story?
Dialogue has always been one of my strengths in everything I've ever written. And so basically, it's just like you're there. I should tell you how I write a book, because I'm not your normal writer. I don't have a storyboard. I don't even know where I'm going. I usually have an end result, especially in this book. I had an end result. But on my crime mysteries, I read along with the reader, and I lay several clues along the way. And sometimes I don't even know who did it until the very end, because then I have to go back and backtrack. And I like it that way, because that way I'm reading it and I'm actually enjoying the book as I go along. Editing is a pain in the butt because I know everything, but I love that first journey where I'm really just reading along with the reader and trying to figure it out as I go along.
So when we're surprised at the end of your books, you are surprised at the end of your books initially as you're writing the end of the book.
As I go, because I have several people who it could be, and then I have to decide, you know, which one really makes sense. But that's the way I write, and it keeps me very interested, and that's why I don't get writer's block, because as I'm reading along, you know, I'm enjoying the journey, so I don't get the block because I don't storyboard out. And I never know how long a book's going to be either. Dogs of Lenin was never intended to be that long, but it just kept telling its own story. And I think the reason that it's so interesting is because the characters are so interesting. I think Lisa and Grant are people that you can relate to, you can care about, you can worry about, and they're with you. And I think that's what makes the book so interesting, besides the facts, you know, the espionage and all of that. But I think that you really just care about these people.
When you develop characters, how do you go about doing that? Do you have in your mind, before you start writing, a fully descriptive rundown of who the character is? Or does that evolve as the story goes as well?
It evolves as it goes along. That's just the way I do it. This book should be a movie.
Yes.
I think it has to be a movie because, I mean, I think it's not only timely, but I think it's something that people will leave a theater saying, gee, it's too bad it ended that way. Can we go further? And yes, I intend to go further at some point, you know, and actually, does it mean they'll get together and happily ever after? I doubt it. But I don't even know right now.
It's interesting. You won't until you get started and you've got all the elements there for a motion picture. Talk about in doing the sequel, as you finished the story, did you have in your mind, I'm going to continue with these characters and continue the story? Or did this come about after you finished?
After I finished. And I just knew that, you know, their story wasn't over. And the story about what's going on in this country and in the world, as a matter of fact, it's not over either. But in mostly the fact that their story isn't over, and it won't be over, maybe never over. I don't know. I mean, I don't really see a totally happy ending, but I won't know until I get there.
You know, it's interesting because in the book we're talking about is The Dogs of Lenin. We've got these fully described and likable characters that Linda has created. At the same time, in this world that you've created, but created basically real life, so this actually could be happening, what are some of the themes? I've mentioned them before. We've got Russia involved in this. We've got this secret governmental agency. What are some of the issues that are thought-provoking, do you think, in the book that people will go like, yeah, that could actually happen and very well could be happening right now?
Well, it is happening right now. And I mean, these implants are everywhere. They're in the media. They're in the government. They're everywhere. And so this is what Grant wanted to disclose. And when he finally found a way that he could actually do it, he couldn't do it alone. He had to do it with her help. But this is after years of no contact. And so he doesn't know if he can trust her, but she's the only one who can help him out because he needs to get this on the air. He needs to have it out so that the public can make their own mind up. But she has to help him. And will she? That's the big question. Will she? Because, you know, she's giving up a lot. She gave up a whole lot of things to be as famous as she is. And if she does this for him, her career is about done.
Yeah, it's not as simple as it sounds that she could just go forward with this story because there are all sorts of complications with the network and the secret group that's out there. The book is The Dogs of Lenin. You mentioned you working on a sequel. The other two books that we talked about that just received excellent reviews. What else are you working on? You mentioned screenplays. You got a lot going on.
I have 17 screenplays.
17 screenplays. Wow.
17. And three of them were adaptations from books that I wrote. It's not the easiest thing in the world because I know they're asking me now to do a screenplay of The Dogs of Lenin, and I am working on it. But it's when you take a huge book like this one is, and you can't leave anything out, but you can't put too much in, it's an art. And it's not something that I think everybody could do, and I am blessed that I can do that because it's not that simple.
No, it seems like that would be extremely challenging. And talk about that in going through the writing process and being able to know just what is enough without too much, because you seem to have that, as you mentioned, you have that touch.
Yeah, well, a screenplay is dialogue. Well, with a novel, you know, you can describe things and, you know, get away with that. And you can't do that with a screenplay. Dialogue tells the story. Very little is actually done in action. So you got to pick the right dialogue, make sure the dialogue is telling the story. And if it doesn't, then you failed. So you got to make sure that the dialogue is telling the exact same story that you did in the book. And in the three that I've already adapted, I was able to do that. So I know I can do it with this one. It's just a little bit more difficult. Incidentally, the cover was done by a 14-year-old.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's very expressive and grabs the attention as somebody's walking by. And go see, in fact, look at the Dogs of Linda. Go to Linda's website, go to Amazon, go to ours, and look and see there. I love the cover. A 14-year-old artist did that. That's very expressive.
Yes. She's very, very, very talented. And all I did was tell her what I wanted to say with the cover. And then we had several adaptations until we got to the point where, you know, she was satisfied and I was satisfied.
Yeah, that is very nice. We had a couple minutes left. I get the impression you probably watch news events now, and in the back of your mind, you're storing knowledge for future work, because it's sort of maybe even writing itself by all of the strange things going on. If you didn't live in this area, you wouldn't even believe it's true.
Yeah, I do watch the news a lot. I do. And, you know, it gets stored in my mind. You know, I might wake up in the middle of the night and then have some kind of an epiphany, and, you know, but you got to write it down, because you go back to sleep, you forget. So, and then it's just a note. I mean, if you could, when I start a book, it could almost be written in one sentence, because that's all I really know about what I'm going to do. That doesn't make me normal. It doesn't make me usual, but I think the end result says that it's okay that I do that.
I think that the end result speaks for itself. Whatever mode you're using to get to the end, it's working, and people are enjoying your work. I mentioned the other books, Deja Vu, Nobody's Angel. You'll find all the information available at Linda's website. The new book is The Dogs of Lennon. The website is lfreeney, F-R-E-E-N-Y, writer.com. Of course, available at Amazon. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. When do you think the sequel will be available?
I don't know. I'm still working on this, adapting it into a screenplay, so I'm not really sure. But it's in my head all the time. I mean, it rolls around in there. So, I mean, I could start it today and a book would come out of it, but I want to finish the script first. Because if they're going to try to make a movie out of it, I'd like to be a part of that. I don't think anybody else could actually adapt as well as I could adapt it.
Yes, this is your story, your creation. It has to be something that you're part of. We will stay in touch.
I'm sure they
want to
change it.
Yes, we'd love to stay in touch and be able to see how things progress with the screenplay and with the other works. Linda Freeney, our guest on the program, F-R-E-E-N-Y. The book is The Dogs of Lennon. Linda, a pleasure having you with us on the program. Congratulations on such an excellent job with the book. Look forward to having you back on the program. Thank you for spending some time with us.
And thank you, Rick. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It is our pleasure. Linda Freeney, our guest. The book is The Dogs of Lennon. Book available at her website, lfreeneywriter.com, Amazon. And, of course, you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.